The views expressed in this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware.
WVUD presents Campus Voices, conversations with University of Delaware faculty, staff, and students about their teaching, research, service projects, and other interests. To introduce today's guest, here's your host, Richard Gordon.
Thank you, Jason. President Asana said that today's guest, Trevor Dawes, has the vision, energy, and drive to inspire learning, scholarly inquiry, cultural and artistic interactions, and service in an environment dedicated to the open exchange of ideas and information. We welcome Trevor Dawes, who is, as of July 1st, 2016, as UD's Vice Provost for Libraries and Museums and the Mae Morris University Librarian.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for that welcome.
You, like me, share memories of the Wash U campus and University City, Missouri, and St. Louis in general.
Indeed. I was only in St. Louis for 3 years. New York is really home, but in the 3 years that I was in St. Louis, I really learned to appreciate all that the city has to offer. And my friends back home in New York and family members back home in New York thought I was crazy when I described St. Louis as a little version of New York. It has all the wonderful neighborhoods, great food, wonderful cultural activities, and much more affordable than New York City, though. So,
and of course, it has the same humidity in the summer that we have in Delaware.
Yeah, can't seem to get away from that.
Well, President Asana said quite a mouthful about your role to inspire learning, scholarly inquiry, and cultural and artistic interactions, and service and environment.
So, you know, I think it was really gracious of the president to say all that he did about me, but I think he was really speaking not just about me. He was really speaking about the library and the role of the library on the academic campus. In the library, our role is to partner with our faculty and our researchers to truly be a part of the academic mission in helping our students and faculty be successful, however success is defined for them. So it's, you know, getting that good grade in your class for the students, or completing that project, or for the faculty, it's getting that grant, completing their research, writing that book or paper, you know, whatever it is that our community members are pursuing, we can help them be successful. And I think that's really what he was trying to get at in describing me in that way, but really me as an extension of the library or as a leader of the library.
What kind of nice guy like you started in a career as a librarian?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, one that I'm not so sure that my story is that different from many people who are in the profession right now. I was a work study student in the libraries as an undergraduate at Columbia in New York, and I had some really great mentors, some of whom are still mentors to me today, who encouraged and inspired me to think about librarianship as a profession. It's probably not a profession that many people think about in high school or college. Oh, I'm going to become a librarian. I'm sure a few people do, but those would probably not be the norm.
My first job was 10 cents an hour shelving books at my school's library.
Exactly, right? But somehow you took a different path. You didn't get to be a librarian like I did.
I just wasn't cool enough, man.
Maybe.
What about UD and its library attracted you here from Washington University in St. Louis? I mean, because I know from having lived there for my early years, that's quite a good school. It's quite a impressive school, and you worked at Columbia.
Sure, it's a great school, and a Wash U, but so is UD. And I think I've worked at, you know, there are only four institutions at which I don't know if that's a lot or a few, but there are four institutions at which I've worked, and I think they all bring something different to the table. But there are a couple of things that really attracted me to the libraries or to the campus here at UD. One, the staff, both in the library and the people across campus. So during the interview process, I was really struck by the desire for the libraries and museum staff to really embrace that mission that we just talked about, that, you know, President Asana also sees for the libraries, being engaged in the academic mission. So that was one of the things, the staff, the welcomeness, the eagerness to do the kind of work that I think we should be doing. But the job itself was really attractive. I've been working in libraries for a long time, but I've never really had the opportunity to work as closely with the university press as I'm going to now, with the press being a part of my portfolio, and certainly the museum, seeing those connections between the libraries and the museums, and really thinking more broadly about how those can be integrated, not just in the university community, but really in the broader community as well.
That sounds like a real change from what the school library was like when I went away to college at Kenyon or went away to grad school at Mizzou. And it's, you know, you thought of the library as the place you went to. And what you're talking about are kinds of outreach.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there was a time when libraries were really based on that model of, you know, the sort of, if you build it, they will come. And, you know, we had the standard reference desk and all of the services that we provide. And in many ways, we're still providing some of them in different ways. But we're also tending to be more outward facing. So really thinking about how we can engage in the campus and broader community as well.
When I used to teach students about research papers, you know, I'd talk to them about the card catalog and teach them how to do their note cards and all like that. And Trevor, I can remember when it was a big deal when Delcat went online. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now we've got today's students saying, why do I need to go to the library? I've got Google.
Yeah, they do have Google. But, you know, one of the great things about Google is that you can search and you can get a million results. But that's also one of the problems with Google. You search and you get a million results. So how do you know what's the appropriate tool or resource that you need to use in your research project? And the resources that we provide in the library, those have been carefully vetted and appropriate, deemed to be appropriate for whatever research topic you're working on. And what some of the students also, or anyone who's using Google, sometimes don't realize is that the results that you get from Google are actually leading you to the library resources. So I think we have in some ways in libraries become victims of our own success. You know, we've made access to those resources very seamless. So you can do a Google search and, you know, get access to something that we have provided. And that's wonderful. In some ways, you probably don't need to know that you're getting that resource from the library. You need to get what you want. But I think we probably need to do a little bit better job of letting everyone know that, yes, some of these you're getting courtesy of your UD library.
But the other thing, too, is I think we see students and even people like us, you know, you're out at a restaurant having a conversation and something comes up, out comes your phone, and you Google it.
Sure.
And that works well for a casual search.
Yeah.
But students really need, I mean, when I used to teach, it used to be one of the things I try and teach the students. You need to learn how to evaluate what you find.
That's right.
And the research and the tools and the databases and all that a modern library provides, that helps with formal research.
And we've already done some of that evaluation for you. But we're also, you know, again, going back to a part of our role as libraries, really thinking about how we can work in the teaching mission of the institution. We can help the teaching faculty with that, with helping our students become better evaluators of those resources and really leading to hopefully better critical thinking skills. And searching Google is fine. Yes, as you said, we all do that. Starting a search with Wikipedia is also fine, right? You know,
we can start.
That's right. It's a great place to start. You get those million hits, or, you know, maybe you only get those five hits, and it can lead you to something else. So I wouldn't say never use Google or never use any of those resources, because they're, you know, they can be a wonderful, they're excellent starting points, and we all use them.
But if you really are trying to go in-depth on a subject,
come talk to your librarian.
And not just talk to the librarian, but think of all the resources that are. It's not just a building with books anymore.
It is not a building with books. You know, there was a time when, and some libraries and some people still think in the terms of the value of a library being tied to the size of its collection. And, you know, the collection now is you know, A, it's not only the physical, the print books and journals that we have in the libraries, but it's also the electronic books and journals and databases that we have. But it's also a world of resources that we can provide access to through interlibrary loan services, for example. So if we don't own a book, I could get it from, you know, I could get it from a library in Philly, or I could get it from a library in California, and I can get it in, you know, a day or a couple of days. And the collection at UD or any institution is now really a worldwide collection.
One of the things I think the students forget about, and I hope the faculty don't, is that you guys provide the university community with a lot of different databases. They're very specific, and some of them are of peer-reviewed material. Some of them are of worldwide news kinds of material.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, and I'll add something to that as well. I think, you know, libraries are also a place for learning with technology. So really thinking about, when Delcat went online, I remember that I had a similar experience when I was working at Columbia, and we moved from the card catalog to the online catalog and began using databases or CD-ROM databases and the daisy chaining of the CD-ROM databases, which some of your listeners may not understand what I'm talking about by saying that, but that's okay. And you know, we've come so far from where we were in those days of a purely paper or print environment. But yes, we do have the focused resources that, you know, whatever topic you're conducting research, you'll be able to find some of those resources that can help you advance that research in the library. And again, you know, you can start with Google, you can start with the library's website, but don't forget your librarians are there to help you whenever you stumble.
That's a very good point. I mean, when I used to teach for the English department and the computer science department, I mean, Tom Melvin, for example, one of your reference librarians, was, you know, very helpful to me talking with my students about patents and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Kathy
Wojciechowski.
Thank you for saying it. has been very helpful when we talk about copyrights and copyright management and try to teach faculty about rights management.
That's a tough one.
Modern libraries are, it's not just a staid repository for information. I mean, there's active reach out and get people to.
Sure. And the libraries, you know, it's, as we were saying before, it's more than just about the collections. We're also really great spaces. So I'm not sure if you've been to the library here recently, or within the past 10 years, I guess, to see the Student Multimedia Center on the lower level of the library, which chock full of different ways in which you can either learn with or teach with different types of technology. And that's just an amazing resource that has been recognized nationally as being a leader in technological innovation in libraries and the kinds of ways in which we interact with our campus community in that way.
When we're in a rapidly changing information-driven academic environment, this is the kind of thing that happens. It's, you have to teach people about the tools and then how to process what they find.
That's right. Yeah, librarians are educators, I think, and that's why it's a perfect marriage, to be as actively involved, engaged with the teaching faculty in helping our students.
Now, one of the things that I don't know if you've discovered off campus yet, the Newcastle County Public Libraries.
Haven't been there yet.
But like the university library, we find that they're another resource for lots of different kinds of community programs.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, you were talking about the library here being a nice space.
Sure.
That's one of the things that I think is very important about the University of Delaware Library.
And when we talk about community outreach, you know, I really think of that much more broadly than just the campus community. As you know, I've only been here, I don't know, 6-7 weeks. I'm no longer counting, but I haven't yet had the opportunity to get to know a lot of the community outside of the campus. But I can share with you, you know, an example of the kind of work that we did at WashU that was really great. We had lots of partnerships with with other academic institutions like the University of Missouri St. Louis, or with the St. Louis History Museum, the St. Louis Art Museum, and I think as we broaden the reach of the library, and we also broaden the reach of the university, and we demonstrate that the university is really vital to the city, or, and certainly in our case, the state. UD Library, we're already working with the state in providing access to databases to all the public schools across the state. They get those resources through us, which is a wonderful start to the kind of community involvement and community interaction. And I think we can expand on that and extend the kinds of interactions that we have with our community members.
As we were getting ready to record our interview, I told you how much I enjoy talking with your people who put together exhibitions and special collections over at the university museums. And people just don't know about them. It's those are resources that are gems that are here.
Literally.
I'm in the Mineralogical Museum.
That's right.
But they're gems available for faculty, students,
and the community.
And that's the key thing, the community.
Yeah. So, you know, we, and I think a part of that goes back to this, if you build it, they will come. And in libraries, traditionally, marketing is a dirty word. We don't really promote the services and the collections that we have as effectively as I think we could. We'll be hearing certainly more about the, as you know, the museums is a recent addition to the library portfolio. And I've been working already very closely with the staff in the museum, certainly, and its leader, Janice Tomlinson, in thinking about how we can really promote not just the special collections in the library, but the collections that are in the museum, and really looking at the synergies that exist between the library special collections and the museum collections, and how can we take advantage of those synergies in promoting in a more unified way all of the riches that we have here at the university. I think one example, you know, as you probably, you know of this, William Shakespeare, you know, we'll be hosting here at UD the First Folio, the only institution in the state that will host this traveling exhibition, and late August into September. And, you know, there are lots of events and programs that are happening around the First Folio exhibit here, and it's a true partnership between the library, the museums, and other units across the campus, which demonstrates how we can work together for the greater good.
It's a really big event, though, because it's bringing in an international resource for people in Delaware to see and interact with.
Indeed. The First Folio exhibition is going to be sort of the centerpiece of some of the courses that are being taught this fall. I mentioned we'll be having lectures and programs that are, many of which will be free and open to the public. So there's this academic component, but also definitely a community outreach component as well.
It's interesting to me. I mean, we're talking about, you know, William Shakespeare, something from our cultural history. But we've also been talking about, you know, the modern library, the new technology. And I hope that doesn't make some of our listeners' heads hurt to have this dissonance. But it's an opportunity for us to put the old material, whether it be, you know, the traveling folio or last year's special collections exhibition on the Easter 1916 rising in Ireland, to put it in the modern perspective for people.
Sure. And it's an opportunity to provide exposure to historical works. Maybe there are some, you know, not everyone is as familiar with Shakespeare as you or I may be. And so we want to provide that opportunity to expose a new generation of readers, future scholars, And whether or not they're going to be Shakespeare scholars or even, you know, language scholars, they may find something in these works that they appreciate. And let everyone be aware of the riches, the gems that we have in the library. So Shakespeare may not be your thing, but, you know, we have other works of art, we have other collections that you may find much more fascinating.
The other thing, too, though, is if you are a graduate student or a faculty member, or even a student doing an advanced research project, it's important to know that we have things that you can go look at, original materials, in addition to using all the databases.
That's right. Yeah, the collections we have in both in the library and in the museums, you know, we actively teach with those materials, and it's great to be able to. You know, I came here with my iPad, as you probably saw, but I also came here with some printed material, right? So there's nothing that can really substitute for the look and feel and the touch of the physical object, whether it's a book or you'll be handling a work of art differently than you'll be handling a book, but you know the visual cues that you see from that are much different in person, in the physical object than it is in an electronic version.
Now, I remember from my early days as a graduate student how important it was to get to see the primary source, not just a digest of it.
Right, yeah.
And there's just so much that a graduate student can learn or a faculty member can teach going back to the source and having...
Sure. And we want to see our undergraduates also become more familiar with primary source materials. So we're working a lot with undergraduates as well.
Your predecessor used to say, Richard, there's something in this library I'm sure that'll offend everybody.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
But that's a negative way of putting it as a joke. But the bottom line is that. Libraries are also, we think of them as places where knowledge is, but it's also the repositories of diversity, if you will.
Indeed, indeed. So we celebrate that diversity, you know, to not only in our staff and our cultures that are represented by our staff, but we celebrate that diversity in our collections. So when my predecessor may have talked about, you know, having something in the library that offends everyone, yeah, I would agree with that statement. You know, we in the libraries, we celebrate Banned Books Week every year.
Isn't that great?
An event that's coming up in September. And it's great to think about, well, it's actually depressing to think about the fact that there are many in our community who would want to prevent themselves, their brothers or sisters or children from reading some of these really great works. And not only preventing their own kids, but preventing other people's kids from reading these works. And so in libraries, we celebrate this freedom of expression. We celebrate this freedom to read, which is very important as we develop the minds. And, you know, we focus primarily in this regard on the younger generations or you know, teenagers and those who are younger. But that really applies to everyone, right? We want to encourage reading, encourage critical thinking, encourage the ways, you know, we can question. Maybe the students will have their own questions about these works and, you know, why is this happening or that happening in the work? And, you know, they may not like it, but they should be able to read it.
But the thing is, too, is that libraries play a really important role in helping people learn more about each other and their cultures.
Indeed.
And different points of view.
Indeed.
Which has got to help with the overall campus discussion of diversity.
Indeed. It does help with the overall campus discussion of diversity, and it helps with that understanding of different peoples and different cultures. You can travel the world, you know, and learn so much by sitting in the library.
I've always enjoyed collaborating with colleagues in the library on lots of different kinds of things, and it's just such an important part of any college campus. You know, the library, and particularly a modern college campus. I mean, it's a place that draws students and faculty, and you've got We've got branch museums around campus. We've got little branch libraries around campus.
Yeah,
but
we do.
It's just such an important part of the fabric of life at the university.
Yeah. So the kinds of collaboration, you know, whether it's internal collaboration and internal now means both within the library and the museums, but or internal to the campus, I think that's really important. You know, I hate cliches, but, you know, the cliche, no man is an island, I think is certainly one that would be appropriate as a part of this conversation, because we can't in the academic mission of the university is not one that is going to be achieved simply by one person or by one department or any one unit. You know, so President Asanas can say, you know, this is where the university is, this is the direction of the university, but we all need to be aware of and working towards that goal, and that is going to mean we all have to work together.
And
I look forward to that.
And the library is a great place to start that.
It's a wonderful place to start, yeah.
Now, you've came here from WashU, you've worked at Columbia, you've taught in the Drexel Library Sciences program. What are the kinds of things that you have either learned there or have learned that you don't want to do now that you're here? What are the kinds of things that you want to bring to the University of Delaware Library from your experience?
The things that I want to bring, I think, are certainly some of the things that we've talked about before, the collaboration across the campus, being more engaged in the community, both the campus community and beyond. And really sort of having the library, the librarians, get out of the library and be engaged. And that's going to take shape in different ways. I've been here a relatively short time, so I am still learning a lot about the UD culture and context in which I'm working. So I am probably not able to talk at length about the kinds of collaboration that we're going to see, but I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, we're going to be a lot more engaged across campus than we have been. But I can also say some of the things that I don't want to see, or at least one thing that I don't want to see, and maybe it's just a repetition of what I just said in a different way. Siloed is a word that many people often use, although there's a good friend of mine who uses the phrase cylinders of excellence. So the cylinders of excellence in which we operate often.
These, you know, insulated cylinders,
right, yeah,
cylinders of excellence.
Yeah, that's definitely not the way to operate any organization. And certainly not the way that the library is going to be managed during the time that I'm here.
Our time with Trevor Dawes is winding down.
I'm really glad that we've had the time that you've invited me to spend some time here to talk about the library and some of the things that I think we should be doing or will be doing in the libraries. It's really great to help get the word out about our role on the campus.
Thank you, Trevor.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Campus Voices. The views expressed on this program are those of the individual guests and do not necessarily reflect the official views or policies of WVUD or the University of Delaware. For more information about Campus Voices and to find archive copies of this and other episodes, visit our website. Using all lowercase letters, go to www.udel.edu/campusvoices. We invite you to tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 for Campus Voices on 91.3 FM, WVUD, and WVUD HD1 Newark, or online at wvud.org.